here just, Brad, so I'm not right in your face there. Okay, all right. I just wanted to say we're delighted that you're here. And if you're a visitor, there's a little card in the back of one of the chairs there. If you wouldn't mind filling that out, that would be a blessing to me. And can I introduce you guys? So a longtime dear friend, Bonnie Porter, will be getting married here to her fiancé, David, who is here, and we're delighted that they're here. And David, you're going to have to say your last name for us, because I...
Kotzebue.
All right. And so November 11th, they love the Lord, and they love our nation. And it's going to be on November 11th, Veterans Day, to be able to honor our veterans and honor our military. So, welcome. Yeah, thank you. Yep. My desire is that God would teach us. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this scripture, and it's going to seem really simple, Lord, as we read these words this morning, but I pray, God, that we will find a confidence in you and a clarity in you and a courage in you as your people because of these truths that are in these simple scriptures. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us be teachable and that you'd also help us just be alert. And we all have busy weeks, Lord, and we get here and just relax. And I pray, God, that this would be profitable to the glory of God. So we love you. Guide us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I'd like to do is, it's not the first slide, Mike, but I'd like to read these verses from Romans chapter 1, the first five verses, and they go like this. It's talking about Paul being a servant of God. It says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he promised before through the holy prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared, that's the big word today, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. It's through him that we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. Grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. God has called us, and he wants us to walk with him and be obedient in our walk with faith with him among all the nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. It's kind of a battle cry. A battle cry with a whole bunch of wonderful characteristics about who we are in Christ. Okay? So there's the scripture, and we just read those words through today. So I call this, it's kind of a apologetic evidence from Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. An apologetic, I'm just going to simply say reasons for why we believe. Okay? We have to know why we believe. If you don't know why you believe and you don't have the confidence in the scriptures, it's hard to talk to somebody else about what you believe if you don't know why you believe it. And so that's Romans 1, 1 through 4. And then I just kind of a hope unchanging. Okay, that's over the subtitle, Jesus is declared the Son of God. We live in a very turbulent world. Keith bringing up this thing that happened in Pittsburgh, what a tragic, devastating bit of news yesterday morning. I believe it was yesterday morning. I wrote, you know, we live in a troubled world. There is violence and death and crisis, fears, hatred, change, uncertainty. And then if you just kind of put it in the sin category, there's just sin. We're just dealing with sin on a regular basis. And I just wanted to ask, and this is probably pretty obvious, but when you hear something about this, like this tragedy in Pittsburgh, how does that make you feel? Just a few words, if somebody could just share. Scared, angry, heartbreaking. Yeah, confused. Yeah. 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 We need, in the midst of this, I'm just going to call it unchanging hope. We need hope that doesn't change when terrible things like this take place. So the question is, in what do you place your hope? You know, do you place your hope in politics? Do you place your hope in the military? Do you place your hope in fences and guns and arsenals? Or how about the goodwill of men? We just need more goodwill of men. Goodwill of men is not a bad thing, but that's not where our hope lies. These are shaky places to find hope. I did want to say, I'm going to just say about politics, we get to vote coming right up here. And I would just ask you to vote biblically. Vote. This is a crucial time for our state. Vote biblically. Everybody has opinions, and that's good. I hope, as followers of Christ, that our opinions are based upon the principles of God's word. Please. I don't think I want to answer any questions about politics right now. Yes, that's good. Yes, please do. I just, we're not going to, my goal is to encourage us to vote and vote biblically. You have the choice to make. So, where do you place your hope for this world? But then the question comes up, where do you place your hope spiritually? Who is your hope in? What is your upon what have you built your spiritual house? Psalms 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots. Remember when David said that? Or Solomon, rather. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. So, again, in what do you place your hope? In this first chapter of Romans, it says this. Paul is talking about he's longing to be with the people in the church of Rome. Okay? And he says two things a little later in this passage in verse 11. Paul says, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift for two reasons, that you may be established. It's really good to be established, to not be wishy-washy, to not be driven by the wind and tossed. He says that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged. So you have establishment and encouragement in Christ. He says that together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me, and our faith is based in who? Jesus Christ, our Savior. I was thinking about the condition of our world and this old song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. It's like an earthly frame to kind of trust in. I dare not trust in the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. The second verse, when darkness seems to veil his face. In other words, we have darkness here on this earth, and it seems to veil God's face. God, where are you? When darkness seems to veil his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, a fierce storm, my anchor holds within the veil. What a hope and promise. His oath, his covenant and blood. God, support me in the whelming flood. God, give me an anchor. Give me a place I can find security and hope. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope on and stay. On Christ, makes you want to sing it, right? On Christ, the solid rock I stand, right? All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. So why is this hope secure for us? Because the Bible tells us in Hebrews that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's good news. No matter what's happening in our lives, that's great news. We know the scripture tells us that a wise man builds his house upon a rock. And you know, when you're building a house, you know about this, William. When you're building a house, you put everything into it. All your energy, all your time, all your creativity. And you do not want to build a house on shifting sands, nor do you want to build your spiritual life on principles that are like shifting sands. So Jesus says to us, build your house. Good to build your physical house and build your spiritual house on a rock. Jesus says in Matthew 7, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. But it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains came down, and the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So my admonishment is, don't build your house upon shifting sand. I was looking up pictures like this on the internet. Houses built on shifting sand, and you find houses that are just sliding down into the water because they got too close to the edge and they didn't have any foundation. Rather, build your house on a rock. How'd you like to live up here? That's a good example of build your house on the rock, which is Christ the Savior. All right. So with that in mind of building our house upon a rock, our spiritual house, we come to the scripture today that we're talking about. And it's a little harder for me to describe the scripture, but I'm going to do my best and ask that the Lord will teach you. The scripture says this: Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto which he calls the gospel of God. Okay? Usually we talk about the gospel of Christ. But if you think about the words gospel of God and you realize who is the beginning and who is the end, who is the creator and what has he done, and what is our redemption about? Our redemption about is getting right with who? With God. Getting right with God. So it's the gospel of God, which he promised through his holy prophets in the holy scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he gives all of these evidences, who was born of the seed of David, and he, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power. And what was that power? We're going to see that. How God declared Jesus the Son of God with power. Power. What was different than us? What power does Jesus have that we don't have? And I hope we get a chance to see all those things. According to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, through him we received grace and apostleship for obedience to faith among the nations. And that's another sermon, verse 5. So today, kind of the rock of declaration. And the idea of declaring something is to appoint or to decree or to specify something. And so Jesus was declared the Son of God. So I'm just going to call these, speaking of building your house upon a rock, these are like nine great foundation stones upon which your hope is founded. You're glad for all these things right up here. You're glad that they're true. You're glad that God is faithful and that these are for you. This is what your faith is built upon. And it's crazy in the introduction of Romans chapter 1 that Paul would just like, bam, 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 just give us all this stuff and say, this is the vital foundation upon which your faith is founded. So I just broke it down like this. Separated unto the gospel of God, that we are redeemed unto God, which he promised beforehand. And Genesis chapter 3 talks about how God promised a deliverer, a Messiah. And in Isaiah 53, God promises the coming Messiah who will be there for us through his holy prophets, through his prophets. And I wish I had time to go over every one of these scriptures. And if you can, you will be blessed to see how God unfolds this for us. Why were these prophets so important? What did they say to the people? What was their message? And God says, and Paul repeats, he says, man, this is established, and I've been saying it through the prophets from the very beginning. I want you to know that your faith is built on such a solid rock, that my faith is built on such a solid rock that you do not have to doubt it. You don't have to doubt when somebody knocks on your door from another religion and they hand you a pamphlet. You don't have to doubt what you know from the Word of God, from who Christ is, from what God has prepared for those who will follow him by faith. In the Holy Scriptures. And Luke 24:44, I'm going to turn to it because it's absolutely one of my favorites in the whole Bible. Luke 24:44, and you probably already know it because I've said it so many times. This is after the crucifixion. Jesus has been raised from the dead. He's walking down this country road to a place called Emmaus, and two disciples, he comes up on these two disciples, right? Jesus has been crucified, he's risen from the dead, but the two disciples don't know it. And they're brokenhearted. They think Jesus is still in the tomb. And this is what happens in verse 44. And there's a big story, but we can only hit part of it. So they're asking him, don't you know what just happened in Jerusalem? These things that have taken place, and Jesus says, kind of coy, he goes, what things? Right? And here's what he says. Then Jesus said to these two men, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning who? What was Jesus saying? Jesus says to these two disciples, you guys, everything that I have been teaching you, everything that was written, where? In the book of Moses? And the prophets? And Jesus begins to unfold and he said, who were they writing about? What is Jesus claiming here? He is the focus of the whole scriptures. He is the focus of all the prophecies. He is the focus of all these things that have been written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning, Jesus says, me. He is claiming deity. He is claiming that he is God in the flesh. He is claiming that he is the Savior of the world. And you know what? From the beginning of and the end to in this book, that's the message, that God is, Jesus is God in the flesh, and he is the Savior of our lives, if we'll put our faith and trust in him. Okay, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and there's lots to be said about that, who was born of the seed of David, we talked about that a little bit, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. Okay, so we're just going to focus today on in what ways is Jesus declared to be the Son of God. And these are not perfect descriptions. Well, they're perfect in the Bible. I just didn't write them down perfectly. So prophetic declarations about the Son of God. And so the first thing you have, and again, I wish I could go to every one of these scriptures. The first thing you have is by Isaiah the prophet. So Matthew is quoting Isaiah the prophet, and he says, "Behold my servant." And if you were to read in Isaiah, you would be able to read the whole passage. But Jesus is being declared the Son of God. It's like Paul is saying, I am going to nail it down so you don't have any question in your mind about who Jesus really is. And you know, people who do knock on our doors and they say, Jesus never claimed to be God in the flesh. Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God as if he were God himself. And they continue to pound on you and challenge you that the Bible really doesn't say that. These other scriptures, God at the transfiguration, it is God who's speaking. It is Moses and Elijah who are standing there with Jesus. And there is a voice and there are witnesses, Moses and Elijah. There's James and John and Peter, right? And they're at Mount Transfiguration and God speaks up and God says, this is my beloved Son, hear him. God speaks. In the third one, by God with John the Baptist, John the Baptist is describing who Jesus is. And God, through John the Baptist, is affirming, this is my beloved Son. You remember when Jesus was being baptized in the Jordan River? What a sweet moment. And John the Baptist is like, man, I need to be baptized by you, not you by me. And Jesus is baptized, and when he's coming up out of the water, God's voice is heard, and he says, this is my beloved Son. And then the fourth one, believers are adopted by Christ to God's glory. They're accepted in the beloved, accepted by God because of Christ. And I'm not going to take the time to describe that. So those are kind of prophetic. Then this one, declarations of God the Father about the Son. And these are going to seem similar, but here's what this passage says. This passage says that God has declared Jesus to be the Son of God with power. So these are actually phrases that the Bible records that are the Father speaking. Believers are delivered by God from the power of darkness and conveyed into the kingdom of the Son he loves. I just want you to see there the importance that the Father puts on the Son. Secondly, Christ did not glorify himself to become a high priest, Hebrews says, but it was he, God, who said to him, Jesus, you are my Son, and today I have begotten you. Okay? So the reason this is significant to me is because the writer of Hebrews is quoting either the Gospels or Isaiah, and the writer of the Hebrews is saying, it wasn't Jesus who tried to glorify himself. It wasn't Jesus who put himself up onto a pedestal. It was God the Father who recognized Jesus the Son and gave him glory. The third one, the Father declared, a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him, as it is written of him. And can I just point that out? So that's Mark who's writing this gospel, and he says, hear him as it is written of him. What's that referring to, as it is written of him? Old Testament prophets, the Old Testament prophecies, hear him. The one who was written about, here he is. And then Peter declares, he, Jesus, received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. we heard his voice. Now, the significant thing about this simple phrase to me is, this is Peter writing in the little epistle of Peter, and guess what? Peter was there when Jesus was transfigured. Remember that? Just like we talked about, Moses and Elijah, and Peter saying, I was there. I heard him. I heard God say, this is my beloved son. Hear him. So we've taken these powerful declarations from the Old Testament, from Moses and the prophets, all the way through into the Gospels and the epistles, and they're all saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. God is glorifying Christ the Son. It really is a significant difference when people are challenging your faith, that you understand that the Bible clearly conveys these truths, that Jesus is indeed God in the flesh. That's why he can be our Savior. There is no other one. There's no other lamb that could have been sacrificed and borne our sins, taken our sins away. Okay, so there's these prophetic, and then I just call these biblical declarations about Jesus from one simple verse, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. That's not 22, it's supposed to be just 2. You've all almost memorized this verse. The verse says, looking unto Jesus. So the focus, see that? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and now has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what do we see? We see that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. We see that Jesus, who endured the cross, he was not guilty, and he endured the cross, paying, as you well know, for the penalty and the consequence of our sin. He took it. He bore the sin on himself. And Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. This is back to my favorite verse. I threw it in here again. Luke 24:27, it says, And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Okay, so here's the question. Is Jesus God? Does the Bible declare that Jesus is God in the flesh? It does, over and over and over. Now, these are exciting. Declarations of Jesus himself. So we have the declarations of the Father and of these the Old Testament and the prophets, and then you have the declarations that Jesus said of himself. Now, if Jesus was not God, then these statements that he makes are extremely arrogant. The Pharisees, why did they want to stone Jesus? Because he said he was God. And the Pharisees said, no one, only God is God. So here's what Jesus said in John 15. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you. By the way, that's amazing. The Helper, the Holy Spirit. And who's going to send the Holy Spirit? Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit. From the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father. And what will that Spirit do? He will testify of me. He will testify of me, Jesus says. Secondly, John 8:16, and it says, and yet if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. So the claims of Jesus, the word of God, absolutely affirms that Jesus, the Christ, the deliverer, the Messiah, is God in the flesh, the Savior of the world. So jump back with me just for a second in your mind to these beginning words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, where he says, I am going to declare to you that Jesus is the Son of God. Let's continue. The last one, 19, they said to him, they said, where is your father? And Jesus answered, you know what? You don't know, you neither know me nor my father. If you had known me, you would have known my father. If you would have known me, you would have known the father. And then Jesus says in another place, I and my father are one. That's right. Okay. Then the declarations of the Apostle Paul about Jesus. This scripture in Acts 26, powerful. Paul is giving a testimony in front of the governor, and he is saying these words. For these reasons, the Jews seized me. See, the Jews did not agree with the description of the way, which was this Christian beginning. And so the Jews grabbed Paul, and they were seizing him. They seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, Paul says, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great. And by the way, that's what we do. We are witnessing to both small and great. You're witnessing to people on the job. You're witnessing to people wherever you go. That's what Paul is doing. He says, witnessing to both small and great, saying no other things. I'm not making something up. I'm just telling you the same thing that the prophets and the apostles have been saying all along, that Christ, and this amazes me, saying no other thing than those that the prophets and Moses said would come. And then Paul has the courage or the audacity to say, Moses said this. The prophets said this. Said what? That Christ, Messiah, would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. It's very exciting for me to just find these scriptures again and reaffirm our faith, what the Apostle Paul was talking about. He says he is getting ready to expound these incredible truths in the book of Romans. And he is laying the foundation, and he says to the readers, build your spiritual life upon the rock of Christ. Don't build your spiritual life upon other things. They will be like building on shifting sand. So, conclusion, I, Paul, declared that the prophets and Moses said would come, that Jesus is the Messiah. Number two, that Christ would suffer. Number three, that Christ would be the first to rise from the dead, that he, Christ, would proclaim light to the Jews and the Gentiles. Just continuing the same kind of thing, go down to the little sub-points at the bottom. He, Christ, will baptize you with spirit and fire. These are the words of John the Baptist. Christ separates the wheat from the chaff. I just thought it was significant to see that Jesus has the power to separate the wheat from the chaff, the believers from the unbelievers. How could any man do that? How could Jesus, if he were just a prophet, do that? Only God can separate the wheat from the chaff. None will escape his judgment. You know what? What God says goes. Jesus, and then John says, and you know what, guys? Jesus existed before me. You all know this, but who was physically older of Jesus and John? John. John was the older cousin. Right. That's exactly right. And so he says, John the Baptist says, Jesus existed before me. Okay. So you know what? There's probably all kinds of things like this. Let's skip this one. Time's running out. I just want you to see these things, as simple as they are. You all know these things. Jesus Christ declared to be the Son of God with power. How much power did it take for these things to happen? We're going to sing about it in our Christmas program coming up. all these things, Jesus Christ was declared with power. He is the Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit, only Jesus, virgin born, the miracles, wine, walking on the water, feeding 5,000, healing the blind, the lame, the palsied, the deaf, the dead, the demon-possessed, speaking to the angelic and demonic realms. You'll find that in Scripture where Jesus speaks to the angelic and demonic realms. He was witnessed by followers who heard the voice of the Father regarding his beloved Son. That was a miracle when those disciples heard the message about the Son. The Old Testament prophecies fulfilled over 300 times. You heard about the Nazarite and the Egyptian, that he would be from Bethlehem. The prophecies about the Savior. He says, we are declaring him boldly and with power. Hear these things. Resurrected after the brutal Roman crucifixion. No one rose from a brutal Roman crucifixion except Jesus. Resurrection validated by over 500 at one time as to his life and death. It said that Jesus was in a place, there's only 125 of us here or so, 500 people saw Jesus. Many of them ate with him, talked with him, interacted with him after they had watched him be crucified on the cross when he had come back to life. He was called my Lord and my God by the disciples after the resurrection. Amazing. And he ascended to heaven in the presence of men and angels with a promise to return just as he left. And that's good news. He's coming back, friends. He's coming back for us. In the meantime, I want you and me to be convinced of what the Bible says. I want us to be clear about the gospel and the claims of Christ, and have courage to live and walk with him. Would you go to the last slide? Here we go. So just as a way to bring this maybe to a little more personal to us, God has declared Jesus to be the Son of God, and that gives us hope in these troubled times. Can you relate to these phrases? Jesus said, it's probably on the slide before this, but don't be alarmed. Oh yeah, the angel is at the tomb. Jesus has been in the tomb. He's already risen. The disciples are there and saying, what are we going to do in this crisis? What are we going to do about Pittsburgh? What are we going to do about Parkland? What are we going to do about terror? What are we going to do about these things? And I just want to relate this to us. Jesus said, if you go to the next one, the angels say, don't be alarmed. And I just want to tell you, at the crisis in your life and what's happening in the world, Jesus and the message from heaven was, don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed, friends. The next phrase, he was crucified. You know, things look devastating and hopeless, but he is risen. Christ is victorious in ways you could not imagine and in ways you can't imagine in your own life. Give your heart to him and live for him. He is going before you. The angel said to the disciples, you know what, guys, I know you're really upset, but he is going before you. And I will tell you, God is going before you. He has not abandoned you. You will see him, the angel said. Open your eyes. Know his word, his plan, his grace. And that's my message to you. Open your eyes. He is going before you. Know his word. Know his plan. Find hope in who he is. As he said to you, the angel said to the disciples, and I say to us, as he said to you, he will do. Our God will always keep his word, and you can count on that. Our God will always keep his word, and by faith in Jesus Christ, you are his. Your hope is solid and secure. I find that when things happen like Pittsburgh, it just knocks me off my horse. It is so devastating to hear of what's happened. You know, and I listened to the radio yesterday, and they were talking, what are we going to do? How are we going to stop this hate that's going on? And I'm thinking, the problem is people got sin in their heart, and they got rebellion against God, and they won't believe in God or trust him. And so we're seeing this stuff acted out in the world. Jesus and the angel said, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. He is risen. He's going before you, and he will never leave you or forsake you.
I saw this in the middle of the night, and the first thing I did was thank God for our protectors that are here.
Thank you, Lord.
Their life on the line.
Yeah.
Taking care of us, and I asked him to protect.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. Worship team, would you come? Let's pray together. Our God, I thank you for the great truth in the book of Romans. I am so blessed to just be beginning to talk about this. And I ask you, Lord, to help teach us that we would find incredible hope in the truth that God boldly declared Jesus Christ with power to us. And these are powerful evidences of our faith. Lord, I pray that we could find hope. And I just say to you, anybody here who's distressed, we're going to have a few people here to pray just right up in front or after the song. If you want to stay, we'd like to pray with you. If you are distressed or you're thinking, man, okay, this is all good stuff, but in my life, it's all stirred up. We want to pray with you. We want to come alongside you and help you. So, Lord, thank you the way the Bible speaks to us. Teach us and then help us to stand on the rock of Christ our Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship together.
There's no place where we can find peace. There's nowhere to a blazing.
What a great truth. So maybe right now it's hard to hold on. We'd like to pray with you. Two things are going to happen. We have a security meeting for people who are part of that. And then the greeters, we're going to meet in the fellowship hall right afterward. Father, thank you that you are there for us to hold on to. And I pray, Lord God, that we would choose to do that when we're in the middle of the storm. Thank you. Bless each person here, God. And I pray as we shake each other's hands and encourage each other, that that love of the brethren and the love of the body of Christ would just be a precious gift. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.